before we dive in, I mean, let's to talk about what IBS is not. For me, you know, I thought loads of stuff. I thought it was because I was into bodybuilding, so I was drinking, eating a lot of veg, drinking a lot of protein shakes. And
this podcast, Beyond Bar from Blues, is our way to document the lessons we've learned on growing our business, Men's IBS Mastery, towards helping 1 million men. Our hope is you use the lessons and wisdom for your own journey and maybe someday soon partner with us to achieve IBS Mastery and dominate in your personal and professional life. We hope you share and enjoy.
Hey, it's Charlie Jean here, and today I'm joined by Glenn, my husband and business partner. And he's a men's performance specialist. So hi, Glenn. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Super excited to be here today to cover a really important subject as we dive into this first podcast. Woohoo! First podcast to help men out that have got gut issues and IBS. So I'm really excited and how important it is to get it out there.
Fantastic. So today we are talking about what is IBS. So what symptoms, what it is, and how to get diagnosed. So you were diagnosed with it in 2013?
Yeah, blimey, it's that long ago now. Yeah, time flies, doesn't it? Yeah, and I had it from, I mean, I want to go back slightly though, just to explain to the listener, you know, because I'm hopefully they'll, you know, can resonate with this, that I had it from 2003. So I'm not going to go into a deep dive because this is about, you know, the people that are listening. But I went to Iraq in 2003 as a section commander during the war, the conflict that was out there. I got a really bad case of DNV.
Diarrhea and vomiting.
Yeah, really, really bad. And I mean, loads of us, it went through loads of us, as it does. And, you know, and I had a bit of obviously sleep deprivation, a lot of other health conditions while I was out there. And from that point moving forwards, and obviously knowing you now, that trauma and DMV
is stress, extreme stress, and like, yeah, periods of tummy bug, if you like, diarrhea and vomiting, can increase your risk of getting IBS.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And getting back from that tour moving forwards, things just gradually got worse and worse for me. You know, I was always being diarrhea predominant, never really suffered with constipation, thankfully, even though they're both as bad as probably as each other. And then it was, for me, it was bloating. And, you know, I've always trained. Back then I had a six pack. I was always like really lean. And then some days I'd look like I'd swallowed like a big air ball or something. And it was really uncomfortable and stuff. And it got worse. Initially it wasn't too bad. But then as the years went by, it got worse and worse and worse. And yeah, clearly it was, what was that, 10 years till I, you know, met you. And then,
but soldiers in the army, it's just like a banter and just taking the mick and, oh yeah, like got the blooming shits, whatever, you know, dodgy food. Oh, the blooming chefs are giving us food poisoning again.
Or... it's crazy. And before we dive in, I mean, let's to talk about what IBS is not. For me, you know, I thought loads of stuff. I thought it was because I was into bodybuilding, so I was drinking, eating a lot of veg, drinking a lot of protein shakes. And yeah, I used to get, like you say, the banter. It was like our protein farts, because I had a lot of wind as well with my IBS. I forgot to mention that before. So that was another one of my symptoms. Really smelly wind, you know, really, it was horrible. But I used to label that, oh yeah, protein farts, and like laugh it off and shrug it off, like, you know, pull the comfort blanket over. And just, yeah, what? It's, you know, not really trying to figure it out on my own, and they're thinking, oh, I'll speak to somebody else that's got it, or they're suffering with gut issues. And yeah, it's crazy.
And I think a lot of soldiers, the mentality is you just kind of put up with it. You just, you know, you just get on with it, don't you? Oh, it is what it is. No dramas. But then I think from meeting you and then knowing that you had those symptoms and then wanting to help you and help you realise that you don't have to put up with those symptoms. Like you guys, you don't have to put up with the symptoms, but it's knowing that you need help and the symptoms that you've got, they aren't normal and you don't have to put up with them. There is a way around it.
So true.
So the classic symptoms, like you touched on there, diarrhea, bloating, tummy pain, constipation. So you can have constipation or diarrhea or both. You can have like where your tummy feels like it's bloated, which is just regular bloating. But then also there's what the doctors call distension, which is where you are physically, your tummy is like bloated, like Glenn said, where he was, you know, it was literally sticking out like a balloon.
Horrible.
But you can also get like non-gut symptoms where you might have nausea, brain fog or head fog, people call it. So you can't really concentrate very well. You're a bit kind of hazy. You can have backache, you can have bladder problems. So it's not just gut symptoms that you can have. You can have other symptoms on top of that. But the principal symptom is tummy pain and then associate with other things. Do you have anything to add?
No, I mean, it's super important. And I can't, you know, put enough emphasis on it. And there's a reason, as we, you know, that for those that are listening, that we're doing these podcasts and bringing these channels to you to break the stigma really associated with gut issues, irritable bowel syndrome with men. Because the thing is, women, you know, as you know from being before when you've worked with women.
I'm being a woman myself.
No, but I mean, working with women with IBS in the past, I mean, and obviously now we only work with men, but yeah, it's women will typically go and get help. They'll go and, you know, put their hand up and say, I want help, I want to get this sorted.
Yeah, this isn't right, I'm going to go and get help.
Whereas men, speaking from experience, you know, it's more, I've got to get on with it. I'm a soldier or an athlete, or, you know, it may be that you're a businessman yourself, that, you know, if you're listening to this, you might be an entrepreneur. And like, who wants to then label themselves with anything, let alone IBS, and then, you know, and have that association? So it's difficult. And men typically, yeah, they're a nightmare for it, aren't they? And a few of my friends that have also got IBS, and I've got friends that have got IBD as well.
I know loads of soldiers.
Loads.
That tell me their symptoms or mentioned their symptoms, or we've experienced their symptoms. Yeah. Because, you know, like, they go onto the toilet or they're making noises and smells and stuff, and you think, well, that's more excessive than, you know, is normal, you could say. And my suspicion is that because they've been away, that it probably is that, because the amount of soldiers, you know, the high stress environment, the DMV that goes round, soldiers are going to be in a high risk category for developing IBS. And I think a lot of the blokes have got it, but they deny it, refuse to accept that, you know, that it's not normal, or they just want to crack on and just get on with it.
It's so true. And acceptance, I mean, we'll obviously cover that. We're going to cover acceptance in another podcast later down the line. But, you know, it's so true that, and what men don't realise, and it's down to a belief, isn't it, like everything, is getting help is a superpower, and it's an absolute superpower. It's a strength. Whereas, but the mindset, really, it's a simple mindset shift. And it was for me. For years, I thought, no, it's a strength by not getting help and just dealing with it and cracking on. But that's not a strength. Actually, that is kind of a weakness, because it's that in itself, just getting on with it and not getting help to overcome IBS, or it could be anything, is the consequences of not getting help can be quite horrific. You know, they can eat into, like, lost opportunities.
Mental space as well. It's just like consuming yourself, because, like, if you've got all these symptoms, and you've got diarrhea, and maybe you get backache and other problems as well, you don't know what it is, and you think, oh my God, what is it? And like, every now and again, it'll keep popping in your head, oh, what if it's the big C? What if it's bowel cancer?
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
And then, you know, like, you see things in the news or people, and, you know, they've been diagnosed with cancer, and then that just kind of reminds you, and then every time you go to the toilet or you're experiencing like a flare-up, that can be a constant reminder, and you not knowing what that is really, like, it's just going to totally drain your energy, your mental strain of carrying that around and not knowing what it is. And then because you don't know what it is, you don't know how to manage it.
Yeah.
Is physically and mentally, like, challenging. So that's just naturally going to hold you back from getting on with your life. And even down to just day-to-day living and how you show up, like, because you're carrying that and not knowing what it is, that could make you less happy and, like, not yourself. And you could, and the, like, with depression and anxiety, that could, you know, start building, because you don't know what's going on. And the longer you carry that around, the more difficult it could be.
Definitely.
And, yeah, there's, like, what is it, 40 to 60% of people with IBS have anxiety and stress and depression. So,
and the thing is, you know, for the listener, you're not alone. I mean, you are not alone. There are literally millions and millions of men out there with IBS. And, you know, it's you've got to realise that you're not on your own. There is tons of people with this condition. But the scary part is that it is, in many cases, you know, first of all, it's people don't get a diagnosis. I know that's what we're going to cover as well. That's the big one, is, you know, not accepting that they've got an issue, not getting the diagnosis, And then the second part is once they've got the diagnosis, to do anything about it. And then, you know, just try and muddle through it, like taking wild stabs in the dark, trying this, trying that. It's like throwing jelly on the wall and hoping it'll stick. And it can just, for me, it was years. You know, I was like 10 years before I got a diagnosis. And during that time, I'm not going to, you know, I'd take another podcast of itself to, for me to explain all the, it would, wouldn't it? All the missed opportunities and the you know, the rubbish that I had to put up with my three children as they were growing up, you know, not, you know, I remember once just having to, like, I was in the cinema watching a film in down in Wales, Merthyr Tydfil. We were in View Cinema. And I, oh, yeah, it's really bad stomach. Like, I could feel the diarrhea coming on. I really needed the toilet. And I can't leave three kids just sat in the cinema. Yeah, what if they, you know, somebody stole them or they went walkabout? Or so I had to grab my kids. They were only like 6 and 5 or whatever. Grab my kids and then take them into a toilet which is big enough, the disabled toilet. Launch them in there with me while I'm sat on the toilet emptying my cage. It was horrible because then they're like looking at me thinking, "What's Dad doing?" And you can't tell them you've got IBS. So it's, and well, back then I didn't even know. So, you know, flipping that script slightly is by getting that. By getting a, once you've had the diagnosis and accepting that it is IBS and getting help, you know, expert help straight away is a superpower, because not only is it a weight off your shoulders, it is a massive relief, like in terms of the burden. And because it's like carrying a blooming, you know, like Andy does that med ball walking around. And it's just like carrying a blooming ball and chain around in it all the time. Whereas once you know what it is and you can take then steps, the right steps towards getting it under control, which is fully doable, then things become a lot easier. Life becomes a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. I like that quote by, I think it's Les Brown. Seek help because you want to stay strong, not because you're weak. I think it's something like that.
But
that is so true. So we've discussed what IBS is, and Glenn has mentioned about, you know, how important it is to get a diagnosis. Self-diagnosis is really not helpful.
Crazy.
It's just madness. I can understand why, you know, you probably want to do it if you haven't got a diagnosis yet. You might think, oh yeah, you know, I've got tummy pain. You know, I get diarrhea. Oh yeah, I've got bloating. Oh, it must be IBS. So then you go down the route of maybe Googling, you know, Dr. Google or wherever, going in groups or searching around on the internet. And you think, yeah, it's IBS. You're self-diagnosed. And then you start looking for ways to manage IBS. But what if it's not IBS? Because there's loads of gut conditions and there's loads of conditions that have got gut symptoms as well. So then you would be then missing out on getting the correct diagnosis and then the correct help.
Yeah.
And the sooner you get the right help, the sooner it can improve your symptoms or either get rid of your symptoms, depending on obviously the cause of the symptoms in the first place. So because there's loads of different gut conditions and they've got like overlap. So I don't know, for example, bowel cancer, inflammatory bowel disease, which includes Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, celiac disease and IBS, for example. Somewhere. Just them ones that I've mentioned there can all have diarrhea, for example. But that doesn't mean to say that doing the same thing, changing your diet, is going to work for all of those things. It's different strategies, treatments that would be required to tackle them. Hopefully that makes sense. So you can't diagnose because time is of the essence, especially with like bowel cancer. And if you see blood in your poo or like on the tissue, or if your poo is really dark and smelly, I'm really sorry to talk about this, but this is really important. And I think, you know, a lot of men, they don't look at, you know, their poo or, you know, take any notice and they don't get help. So this is really important. And yeah, it's an embarrassing to talk about.
So, I mean, that, just before we get off subject, I just want to stack on what you said there, Charlie Jean, is I've done, you know, I've done YouTube videos on this TikTok, like 60 second TikToks thing. With, you know, other social media platforms, what I call a 3 second check. It is literally as simple as 3 seconds. Every time you go to the toilet, just, and I don't want to go off topic too much, but when you check your tissue, like Charlie Jean's just mentioned there, it's what I do regularly. or, you know, all times, for going to the toilet for a number two is you've wiped yourself. It literally takes 3 seconds. Look at your tissue. Have a look at it. Does it look normal? Is there any red streaky blood or anything unusual on your tissue? No.
Does the poo look normal? Before
you throw the tissue in the toilet, because that'll cover up the poo, have a look into the toilet. Look at it. Does it look healthy? Does it look normal? Is there any dark tarriness? Is there any dark blood, bright blood? Anything like that. Now, obviously, if you've had beetroot the day before, or, you know, anything along them lines, or, you know, but if there's anything at all suspicious in on your tissue and in the toilet,
don't be afraid to talk to your doctor, because
you've got to report
it's better to feel a little bit silly and the doctor's like, oh no, you know, that's totally fine, that's normal, and they'll ask you all about it, like, what have you had to eat, and they could run any tests or anything that's necessary, ask you appropriate questions to find out a bit more information of why your poo doesn't look normal. So a nice brown sausage shape, and if it's really, really smelly, I don't want to go off topic, but yeah, I think it's really important to quickly mention that there.
So the reason I'm passionate about that above everything, I mean, clearly, is, you know, just to give you a quick backstory, is a friend of mine when I was in the military a long time ago, actually, just left it. He had, you know, gut issues, gut problems like I did, but didn't get a diagnosis. He, you know, assumed it was maybe like me, protein fouls, whatever. And his condition slowly got worse. And he literally got to the point where we found out retrospectively there was bleeding, and he just ignored it. The bleeding wasn't every day. That's the key thing. He said it was every now and again, but he was ignoring it, going, oh, it's got better now. Oh, it's got better now. It's got better now. And eventually he ended up going, because he was in such a bad state, and he had all his checks, you know, whether he had a colonoscopy and blood test done and everything else, and he was diagnosed with cancer, and it was too far gone. And unfortunately, Mark, God bless his soul, is not with us anymore, and he was a lovely guy. He was my RSM, married, 3 daughters, about 52-year-old when it happened, and he was still in the army. He was a captain at the time. And he's not with us anymore. It took, taken before his time, and he was a phenomenal man, phenomenal family man, phenomenal soldier, and, you know, doing really well in his career. A very, you know, highly professional, ambitious, goal-driven guy. But there we are. Just to put that emphasis on it, that's a true story that I'll share with you, that if you do the 3-second check, that can save your life. 3 seconds can save your life. And if 3 seconds to check what we've just said there is not enough, you know, for your health and your wealth and
wise. But it's all very well and good doing the 3-second check. You've got to actually act on it as well.
Definitely, like Mark didn't, yeah. So act on it like I did. I had blood, Charlie touched on it there, last year when Mission Impossible came out, because I was at the cinema with your brother. And I did the 3-second check then, and I noticed, yeah, bleeding and dark tarry stools and dark blood. Now, because my IBS is under control, you know, like 99% of the time, I was able to pick up on these issues as well. I was feeling a bit unwell as well, my stomach. So I phoned the doctor straight away. I don't mess around with anything, as you know. Phoned the doctor straight away, went in, did a stool sample, blood tests, no cancer signs, which was phenomenal. The stool test had blood in it. And then, yeah, I was booked in for a suspected ulcer bleeding in the stomach. They went in both ends, obviously. They did colonoscopy, endoscopy. They did take a biopsy of something in my, you know, in my colon, but that came back negative, which was great. And then the endoscopy said that I had some bacteria.
So that's a camera down your
throat. Mouth. Yeah, yeah.
Colonoscopy is a camera up your bum.
Yeah, basically. There we are. So it's in both ends, but you only normally have
and
one
it's
at
a clean
time.
One each time.
Yeah, you don't use the same one. Imagine that. Yuck. Right, we've just taken it out of you. No, let's not go there. Yeah, we laugh, and we'll do another episode on that if it'll help. Put it in the comment if you want an episode on the procedure around a colonoscopy and an endoscopy. I have got no problem sharing that with you and adding that value just in case you may have to go for it yourself.
Yeah, depending on your symptoms, and also depending on how old you are. So typically, if you're over 50, and if you've got a change in bowel habits, so maybe you're going to the toilet more often or less often than normal, or you've got like runny poo, or if you've got like blood in your poo or anything else, they might want to do a colonoscopy, so the camera up your bum to have a look. But first they'll want to clean you out, basically. So you'll have to take something to flush you out and get rid of all the waste matter that's in your bowels so they can have a nice look at it.
We'll cover that in another episode. Yeah. So if you want that, stick it in the comments and we'll definitely cover that for you guys.
Yeah, so the it's knowing what symptoms are normal for IBS and what isn't, but it's, so as we've said, it's not self-diagnosing, but it's so you understand what the doctor is doing with you and the criteria that they're looking for to diagnose IBS. So there's Rome 4 criteria, which is one set of criteria, and loads of countries around the world use this criteria. And there's guidelines on this, which the doctors use to diagnose it. So it's tummy pain on average of 1 day or at least 1 day a week in the last 3 months. But it's got to have, you've got to have had it for at least 6 months for you to be diagnosed. It can't be for the last 3 months on and off and then that's it, because they want to see it a bit longer because it could be something else that's going on. But still go to your doctor, even though... you know, if it has been less time, that don't just sit on it for 6 months and then decide to go to your doctor. Does that make sense? So along with the tummy pain, you need to have at least two of the following as well. So it's like tummy pain associated with having a poo, and then it's a change in the frequency, so how often you go and have a poo, and then the consistency, so whether it's like rabbit pellets, so like constipation, or whether it's all the way through to diarrhea. But then an easy way, which is what we use in the UK, the doctor's going to use either of these. They're basically the same, but an easy way to think of it is the ABC. So abdominal pain, so tummy pain or discomfort. B, bloating. C, a change in bowel habits. And then if you've got strain, you know, if you're struggling to go to the toilet, if you've got to quickly dash to the toilet. And then also they say about incomplete evacuation, so that's what medical term, so that's basically if you feel like you have a poo but there's still some left inside. I know this sounds disgusting, no, but this needs to be spoken about.
Definitely important.
And then if you've got mucus with the poo, and then if your symptoms feel like they're made worse when you eat, and then as I said earlier, you can also have like really, you know, tiredness, nausea, backache, bladder problems, head fog, brain fog, whatever you want to call it as well. So that's the criteria that the doctors use to diagnose you. And they will also do some blood tests because they want to make sure that you don't have anything else going on. So whether it's celiac disease, I can cover these in more details, these other conditions, but they'll basically look to see if you've got anything else going on. And it's not because they don't know what's going on with you. That's because they're doing due diligence and they're working in your best interest to make sure that you haven't, say, got bowel cancer or some other condition that needs different type of treatment. And IBS is a functional gut disorder. So it's a disorder of the gut-brain interaction. So basically, you might have heard of the gut-brain axis. So it's a disorder of that. So there isn't any physical damage. So there's no damage in your gut. So if they put a camera up, they're not going to see anything. If they put a camera down, they're not going to see anything like you can with bowel cancer or inflammatory bowel disease or celiac disease. So there is no physical damage, which is a good thing, but it just means it's the way your gut works that's the problem. And it's to do with your gut and your brain talking to each other because it's a two-way street.
Yes, it's just super important. I mean, getting the diagnosis correct by a doctor that's qualified and not, for example,
doing home tests or diagnosing yourself.
Home tests, we're going to cover them in another podcast because that is another rabbit hole in itself, as in hair tests and food allergy tests and all that malarkey. Please, you know, what you've got to consider is, yeah, you've got a problem and it is difficult. Don't do what I did and just speak to different people that haven't got a clue, as in other soldiers, friends at work, colleagues, whatever.
Sufferers in IBS groups.
Yeah, because what you've got to think is, as that person that's got IBS that you're speaking to, got the outcome that you're after. And it is all about getting the outcome. Now, the outcome, in my mind, should be that you want your IBS fully managed, all the symptoms under control, understanding what the triggers are. So you can get on with your life and do the things and not have the horrible dramas happening, like we've mentioned before, as a few examples with my story. And then you can get on with life and do the things that are enjoyable with the loved ones, get promoted at work, you know, no holds barred, just getting on with stuff. So what you've got to ask yourself is, when you speak to somebody else in a Facebook group or that's got IBS, has that person got the outcome that you're after? More often than not, the answer is going to be no. They haven't got the outcome. They're still struggling day to day. And whatever they've tried isn't fully working for them. And so it's probably not going to work for you.
And an important point to note as well is they haven't assessed you. Are they a healthcare professional? Have they assessed you? Do they know exactly what's going on with you? Do they know that you've got a confirmed diagnosis of IBS by a doctor or not? So people go in like IBS groups, they haven't even got a diagnosis yet. They've self-diagnosed and then they've got loads of people unqualified telling them, oh, do this, do this, do that. So that's not going to work.
There's so many. I mean, you know, I've got, like I said, that's one of the reasons we sat down together. We wrote the 9 secrets that keep men stuck and trapped in that cycle in the book on Amazon, IBS Inversion, which was released back end of last year. It's fairly new. And, you know, in that book, that's one of the things that we cover is, you know, who not to speak to, you know, like speaking to these random people and the detrimental effects on that. So I'm not going to, you know, obviously go too deep on that in this podcast. We can cover that later down the line.
So I think we've covered loads there, lots for you to think about. And if you've got any, you know, suggestions for future topics, we'd love to hear from you.
If you know anybody as well, that's, you know, this is about breaking the stigma, because men need help. Men
don't get help. Men don't get enough help.
Men, we need to break the stigma down. It's our mission in this lifetime, wherever, how long we've got on this planet, me and Charlie Jean, is to help, you know, if we've put 100,000, it could be 1 million men, to get the life that they want, transformation, whatever you will, their IBS under full control. And it is literally, you know, going to take, it's an all hands on deck. That's not just me and Charlie Jean. So if you know anybody that needs this, whether it's yourself, you've got a friend at work that's got IBS, they're struggling with gut issues and they don't not kind of know what's going on, share this with them, you know, bring them over here, because again, it's going to help us to help them, so we can just have that ripple effect and break the stigma down, and let's get men. And also, you don't know who, you know, like the story that I shared with my friend in the army, Mark, you know, if they're sitting in silence and they're just like getting on with it, and you know somebody that's getting on with it, might not be you, but it could be you, but somebody else, who knows? You know, but you could save their life by saying, listen to this podcast, do this ABC and go and get help, because it's a strength, it's a superpower by going to get help, so you can get on with your life and get on with things, and also identify if there's anything, an underlying issue going on that is going to take you before your time.
Yeah. So thanks so much. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, Len.